Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right, so there I was standing in court, and the judge had just declared me guilty. This is a real story. It's actually happened. The question is, what was I guilty of? The official charge was reckless operation of a vehicle. You want to know how I earned that? Doing a burnout down Jefferson Street in Port Clinton, Ohio. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is what that'll get you, right? And not only a burnout on Jefferson Street in Port Clinton, Ohio, I did a burnout in my 1989 blue Ford Probe, right? The fact that it did a burnout and didn't fall apart, some of you know, is a miracle in and of itself. And actually, I should have been awarded something and not a citation just for pulling that off, right? So, and so when the judge asked me, he's like, well, what's your defense? Right, because I'm representing myself at 19 years old. This is a good job. And so the judge says, what's your defense? And here's my defense. Other people were doing it, right? This all happened. I'm sure you can find the transcript somewhere and watch through this case. Very wonderful. But I wonder if you've been in a similar situation like that, right? Like perhaps you knew that you were guilty, right? You done it. And so what you're doing is you're coming up with lame excuses to justify why it's okay for you to have done what you did, and you're a unique and a special case, and that's why you should be let off the hook, and it's all okay, right? Why should we let you go? Other people were doing it. You don't understand. I was very late. My hot pocket was getting cold. Whatever your argument is for the reason, right? But you know, thinking back on that, that judge's judgment was right. Right? That judge's judgment was right. I didn't like it at the time. I didn't like the consequences at the time. But as I look back on that, that judge's judgment was right. Why would I say that? Because what we did was we looked at the evidence, right? We simply looked at the evidence. We looked at the law together, right? That was stated and made plain and clear. And then a decision, a verdict was made in light of the law. And quite frankly, that is exactly what a judge should do. That's exactly what a judge should do. I mean, think about this. Would you rather have a judge giving a verdict on the key moments in your life, and they're making a verdict or a decision based on their mood? Is that how you want a judge to judge you? That they made a decision based on the fact that they were hungry? Or they made a decision based on the fact that they had an argument with their spouse that morning before they showed up to the court. Is that what you want to be the determining thing on how somebody makes a verdict on your life? Or maybe you would prefer them to make a judgment on your life based on voting, right? We'll take a poll of people and see what they think or what they believe. Maybe that's how, or maybe based on popularity. How popular are you among your people? Are you well-liked? Are you not well-liked? All of those different types of things. And that's what's basing your judgment off in your life. And the reality is what we need is a judge who will take in the evidence. We need a judge who will then compare that to the standard and will then issue a verdict or a decision in light of all of that together. A judge who looks at the evidence, compares that to the standard, and makes a verdict or a decision based on all of that. And we want a judge, we need a judge who is just. We need a judge who is impartial. We need a judge who can use the same standard every single time. We need a judge who is unchanging. What we really need is we need God as judge. That's what we need at its core. We need God as judge. And this is the key primary point that Paul is bringing out in this next passage of scripture that we're going to be reading today. So as Emily mentioned, if you brought a Bible with you, if you'd open up to Romans chapter 3, that's the sixth book in the New Testament. And we're going to be going through that here and reading, looking at it, studying it together. We are in our series called Believe, How Encountering Truth Can Change Your Life. And I'm super glad every one of you are here today. Welcome to the house. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors. Really glad every one of you are here today. Our whole family, all of our guests, and then joining us online is our community at Lighthouse Online. We're so glad you're in the, with us today. And so I'm going to ask the family, can we do a moment, and can we just welcome all of our guests and Lighthouse Online with us today and let them know we're so glad that you are with us today. What a great morning to join us, right? Baptisms and a great celebration together. So before we go any further, let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we recognize that you are the right judge for us. We recognize that you judge from truth. We recognize that all of that and more is true about you. And we're simply asking for you to cause your spirit to lead us in truth this morning. Not to be driven by emotion, not that emotions are wrong, but they can drive us. Not to be led by some form of discipline or inner goal, that's not enough to sustain us. But rather to be led moment by moment by the Spirit of God who guides us in the truth of God to Jesus, who is the Son of God. And so we are looking for you to do what only you can do, which is transform our hearts freshly again. I wonder if you would do that in this place. Cause our hearts and our ears to be really open and receptive to what you have to say to us today. And we ask these things through the good name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so Romans chapter 3, we're going to start here right in verse 1, and here's what it says. What advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I'm using a human argument. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, well then why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderously claim that we say, let us do evil that good might may result, their condemnation is just. Now, the overwhelming point that Paul is making in this section of scripture is this, is that God is the only just judge. That's really the driving force here, is that God is the only just judge. And essentially, it's what we talked about earlier, right? God is the only one who can take in the evidence, compare it to the standard, and then in light of that, make a good, right decision or verdict in response to all that is there. And we're not just talking about one person. We're talking about the entire world, right? God is the one just judge over the entire world. He's the only one who can do that, right? And make a right decision. And so if God is the one just judge, the question then, I don't know for you, but the question that comes to me is like, well, why can't humans do that? Why can't humans be the one to judge, right? To judge that which is right and which is not right, that which is good and that which is not good, right? Why can't humans be judge of ourselves? Well, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons, right? The first one is we can barely judge whether that shirt goes with those pants, right? Like that is hard enough on its own. That's not even like real stuff that matters. And this is what Paul does. He starts working through the arguments on why humans cannot be the judge of ourselves. He says, listen, the Jews were the one nation who received God's word. I want you to think about that. There is no other nation in the history of the world who was chosen the way that Israel was chosen and received the word of God the way that Israel received the word of God. They were the ones. That was it. Right? Paul makes this point. The Jews were the ones who received the word of God. And then he says this, and they were unfaithful with it. The one nation that this is the thing that defined them, and they had pride about this as well. And he says they were unfaithful. And so some took that argument to say, well, if God's people were unfaithful, then that must mean that God is unfaithful too, right? His people reflect him. And Paul says, no, that's a faulty line of logic. And then he goes, right, he makes that statement, let every human being be a liar and God be true. And his point is, even if every human being, is a liar and can't tell the truth, by the way, that's true, it wouldn't matter. God still remains true, right? And so that's one reason why we can't be judge over ourselves. The other reason that Paul says we can't be judge of ourselves is because we make stupid arguments. Seriously, that's what's in here. That's what he's saying. He's like, we make stupid arguments. Why did you do that? Well, because other people were doing it, right? that's our argument. And essentially, right, that goes even further in the scriptures. There's people making this argument, right? They're saying, well, light shines brightest in the darkness, right? And so, quite frankly, my sinfulness just exposes God's holiness and glory with greater clarity than anything else would. So it's not right for God to, I'm essentially giving him glory through my sin, right? If it weren't for my sin, God wouldn't be seen as so holy and glorious. That's a stupid argument, okay? All right, and that's Paul's point, right? Is that what we try to do is we try to justify our sin, right? Let me explain to you why it's okay for me to be unfaithful to God and to be faithful to only to myself. That's essentially what we're doing. Let me tell you, God, why I'm the special case that should be excused because you don't fully understand my entire situation or what's going on in my life. And so we have these lame arguments like my sin causes God's holiness to be more radiant. Those are just two that Paul brings out, but there are many, many more reasons why we should not and we are not able to judge ourselves. There's more than one reason, but Paul brings out one of the primary reasons why God is the only one who can justly judge all of the humanity, and it's this, is because God is faithful. God is faithful. And in fact, he's the only one who is faithful. No one else is. It's him alone. When we use that term faithful, when the scriptures use that term faithful, especially in this context, what it's talking about is the fact that God remains committed and consistent to his character and to his word. That's what it means for God to be faithful. That he is committed and he is consistent in his care or to his character and to his word. And so essentially that God is unchanging in his nature. And if God says he's going to do something, he's always going to do that. You don't have to wonder if, the question is only when. Right? God always fulfills his promises and he is unchanging. Both of those are really important things. Think about this from the unchanging standpoint. The fact that God is faithful and he's unchanging, this is what it means. And a whole lot of other things, but this is what grabs my attention so much. It means this, is that God wasn't better in the past and now he's getting worse or he's becoming fickle or he's changing his priorities or the rules. But it also means that God wasn't worse, and now he's getting better, and he's changing the goalposts and how to know him. The fact that God is unchanging means you get the same God in Genesis 1 that you get at the end of Revelation. This is the same God all throughout of time, history, space, scripture, all of it. Every time, every culture, every people, everything. This is the same God who is faithful and unchanging, and that is a wonderful gift for God to give to us. Do you realize how different he is than us in that regard. This was so cool. This is one of the points that Paul makes, right? That even though Israel was unfaithful to God, unfaithful to his word, unfaithful to his character. And so for every reason, God would have reason to reciprocate unfaithfulness to them. But what does God give in response to Israel's unfaithfulness? He gives his faithfulness, right? He continues to be faithful to the nation of Israel, even when they choose unfaithfulness, right? Look at Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, right? This is Joshua near the end of his life talking about God. He says, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has been failed." This is a definition of faithfulness, that God does what he says he's going to do every single time. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry if. The only question you might have is when, because it's going to happen. Fast forward to, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And this is what it says in the Amplified. If we are faithless, that's funny, if. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. He cannot, he will not deny his character and his word. And so God is faithful irrespective of whether you're faithful or whether I'm faithful. God will continue because that's who he is. And so why is God the only just judge? Well, the reason is because we're unfaithful and God is faithful. We're constantly changing. God is unchanging. And for those reasons and many, many more, God is the only just judge that we can trust. So what do we do with that? What does all of that mean? Okay? If God is the only just judge, he's the one who's faithful, he's the one who's unchanging, and we're not those things, what do we do with all of that? And it's this: trust God's judgment. That's the response, right? If God's the only just judge, then the response is to trust God's judgments. It's very easy to write those three words down. It is a whole nother thing to actually live that out and let that shape your life, to trust God's judgment. There's actually a case study of this in Genesis chapter 18. So if you've read this before, there's an account where there's an area known as Sodom and Gomorrah. It's very, very wicked, very, very sinful. And God puts it in his mind and in his decision to destroy this region. And so essentially, God kind of gives Abraham, one of his followers, a heads up. And so he shares this news with Abraham. And Abraham goes, "Oh, wow, that's a lot." And then he asks this question: "God, will you really sweep away the righteous along with the unrighteous? Would you really do that?" And he kind of works through some questions, kind of talking about this out loud. And as he's working this through his mind and in his heart in real time out loud, he ends up landing at this place that's found in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. And what he does is he asks a question, but it's a rhetorical question. And actually, let's do this. Let's read this out loud together, beginning with "will not." Are you ready? Go. "Will not the judge of all the earth..." It's a rhetorical question. What Abraham has done is he's looked at everything. He's looked at the evidence. He's looked at who God is and his character and his nature, what he knows about the Lord, and he's come to this conclusion. "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the answer is yes. Yes, he will. That in every circumstance, that you and I can trust God's judgment, that he is faithful, that he is wise, that he is powerful, that he is good, right? That this is the God that we put all of our trust and all of our hope in alone, and he will do that which is right. So the question is, well then, what is God's judgment? And some of you who have been in the church for a little bit, you're immediately going to Judgment Day. And so we're not talking about that today. That's a whole nother thing that would be outside of where Paul is talking about in the scripture. That's for a different message on a different day. But when we're talking about God's judgment, what I want to do is I want to expose four of God's judgments or decisions, verdicts, together for a moment. So there's going to be four of them. The first one is this, is that God has a verdict or a judgment about humans and sin. And we find it in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And here's what it says. The wages of sin is death. That's the judgment on sin and humanity. There's another place, we're actually going to read it in a couple weeks, that talks about the fact that all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. And so what God's verdict, what God's judgment of sin and of humanity, who we've all stepped into sin, is the fact that sin separates us from God, right? Sin is destructive. Sin tears down. Sin is outside of God's will and his desires for us. In fact, you know what sin, if we want to use the language of faithfulness to describe it, you want to know what sin is? Sin is unfaithfulness to God with a commitment of faithfulness to me. That's what sin is. That I would be more faithful to myself than I would to the Lord. Unfaithful to God and faithful to me. That's the core of sin. That's the decision. I'm going to do what I want to do as opposed to what God would have me to do, right? I know he's the creator. I know he's the one who's in charge of everything, but I'll just go ahead and play in my little, you know, sandbox in my area. It won't be that big of a deal, God. And yet it is. It's a very big deal, right? You know what the prize is for sin? The prize is death. The prize is separation from God. This is the judgment that God has about sin. And so you've got to trust that sin is not something you play with. Sin is not something you toy with. That sin is actually very, very dangerous and it's deadly, right? That's God's verdict about sin. That's the first verdict, the first judgment. Here's the second judgment. The second judgment is about Jesus. The second judgment is about Jesus. And here's God's judgment about Jesus. It's found in Acts chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And it's this, that Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. God's judgment about Jesus is that he is the only way to be rescued from sin and death. There is no other way, right? We just saw it's found in no one else. In John chapter 14, we talked about this last week. Jesus said, I am the way, right? Not one of them, not one among many, the. That's exclusive, right? Jesus is the way. And so part of what this passage is saying is that Jesus, through his life and his death, was faithful to God in your place. Think about that. Jesus was faithful to God every single time, every moment of his life, and he was faithful to God in your place. Where we're unfaithful to God, Jesus remained faithful. In the few moments that we have like the smidgen of faithfulness to God, Jesus' faithfulness was greater than our own, right? That's what this is making. And that's the point that God, that's the verdict, that's his judgment, is that Jesus' life and death is the solution to our problem. Jesus' life and death is our solution to his problem. And the reason we can know that is because of his resurrection. The resurrection is God's exclamation point, his affirmation, his confirmation that what Jesus said, what Jesus did, and his death on the cross was enough. And it was the last bit, and there's nothing else to be added to it. In fact, if God didn't accept it, he wouldn't have raised Jesus from the dead. But he did. And not only did he raise Jesus from the dead, but he ascended him to heaven. And guess where Jesus is today? Seated at the right hand of the Father in authority over all things. That's God's judgment about Jesus, right? Philippians 2 says it this way, that one day every knee will bow and every single tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's God's judgment about Jesus. The third thing that God has a judgment about, right? This is why we have to trust God's judgment. He's exposing truth. He's exposing decisions and verdicts for us that we have to understand and own into. The third is faith. The third of God's judgments is faith. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, talks about this really clearly. It says this, "Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ." Check that out. A person is made right with God. How? By faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Now, I want to make a point. Baptism this morning was essential, right? Like Jesus says, you should, if you're a believer, you should take the step of baptism. But you have to know that act this morning did not save those people. If it was, then they would be able to be saved by obeying the law. But instead, they were saved by faith in Christ. And we have believed in Christ Jesus, verse 16 continues, so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. And so God's judgment, his verdict about faith, is that the only way to be free from sin and death and the only way to be out from underneath of God's wrath is through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you try another way, if you try to sneak in the back door or climb in through a window, you are thrown out. There is no way except through faith in Jesus Christ to be made right with God. That's the third of God's judgments. There's a fourth one that I want to bring out and I want to talk about for the rest of our time this morning. And the fourth is God's judgment about believers, born-again believers. This is actually pretty important. I think a lot of believers, they all are, but this is one place where I think a lot of born-again believers get stuck. They get hung up in this moment about God's judgment about believers. I'll just say it plainly. I think that there are too many people, probably in this room, probably joining online, probably sitting in churches all over Hancock County right now, who are afraid that they are exhausting God's grace and God's love for them. That you have fear in your life that you have or you're getting close to exhausting God's grace for you. Right? You have come to a place where you're now wondering, is God going to change his mind about me? Why? Because you know how unfaithful you are. Because I know how unfaithful I am to this faithful God. And it's a very real thing to go, I wonder when God will wise up and realize that I'm not as good of a catch as I may have presented myself to be at the beginning of our relationship. And when will God's grace run out for me? And when will God change his mind about me? I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands, but I could imagine that that thread of thought runs through more people than we would care to admit. That we're just wondering when it's going to run out. Do you know what God's judgment is about those who are born again in Jesus Christ? Do you know what it is? I want to walk through just a couple of verses to help you understand. This is not the exhaustive. This is just the amount of time that I have this morning to talk about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read this one out loud together, beginning with "this means." Are you ready? Go. "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone." The verdict is, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old you is gone. That is dead. That is buried. They're not around anymore, right? You're now living as a new creation, a new life. And so you are under no obligation to return to your old life. None at all. In fact, the only reason that you and I do return to our old lives is because we choose to. If you're born again in Jesus Christ, you are not required to engage and return to your sinful lifestyle. You're not. The Spirit of God is living inside of you, and He is setting you free from all of that stuff. And so I just want you to know that if you and I, when you and I choose to re-engage in sin, we are choosing it. This is not a devil made me do it. This is not I'm just wired that way. That's a place of comfort and safety that you've known for years, perhaps decades in your life, and you think that's the thing that brings you release. It doesn't. You're a new creation. If you're in Christ, you're new, guys. I'm new. I'm not the same guy I was before I met Jesus. I'm not even the same guy I was like 6 months ago. Like, Jesus is changing me all of the time into a new person. That's who He is. That's what He does. You know what else God's judgment is about you as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Let's read this one out loud together, starting with therefore. Are you ready? Go. Therefore, there is now no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are, who believe in Him as personal Lord and Savior. How much condemnation is there for those who are in Jesus Christ? Zero. No. None. Spanish. No. Right? It's like there's none. Guys, it's zero. If you have condemnation, if you have guilt, if you have shame in your life as a believer of Jesus Christ, you need to know that you're putting that on yourself. That is not from the Lord. Because there's none. There's no. Why? Because you're in Christ now. The old you is gone. The new you is here. This is God's judgment about the believer. Okay, but what about when, right? Not if. What about when I'm unfaithful to God through sin? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read this one out loud together, starting with if we confess. Are you ready? Go. If we confess our sins, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When you are unfaithful, if you'll simply bring before the Lord that which He already knows about, who are you hiding your sin from? It's not the Lord. If you'll simply acknowledge to God that you know and you see what He already knows and what He already sees, guess what He is? He's faithful. He's faithful. He's true to His word. He's true to His character. He's just. And what's His response? Forgiveness. Forgiveness and purification. This is God's judgment on the believer. This is God's judgment on the believer. Trust God's judgment. Trust God's judgment. He's the only just judge who's there. Some of you may have read Romans 3 before, and there's this little portion of scripture that Paul quotes that's in there. Do you know where that portion of scripture is from? It's Psalm 51. You know what Psalm 51 is? Psalm 51 is the prayer of King David when he is acknowledging and confessing his sin of an adulterous relationship with another man's wife, Bathsheba, and the killing of her husband, Uriah. This is the man after God's own heart, right? And he acknowledges his sin. And Psalm 51 is this walkthrough of how David journeyed through this realization. And it starts with him confessing his sin before the Lord. It goes to asking God for forgiveness. And then it moves to trusting God's judgment in his life. Because David knew that God is faithful. Guys, that's what it looks like to walk as a believer. Now, it doesn't mean we walk in sin and it doesn't matter and we don't care because I'm going to be forgiven anyways. In fact, what it does is it brings a desire for holiness and righteousness to a greater degree. It brings a distaste for sin and self-centeredness even higher. If you're genuinely walking with the Lord, right? God's forgiveness is not a permit to go do whatever you want because he's just going to forgive me at any moment. That's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer would call cheap grace. And that's not what the Bible is talking about. But Psalm 51 is recognizing my own unfaithfulness, bringing that before the Lord and trusting the just judge of the world. And I would encourage you, this is actually the next step on your connection card, is that this week you would read Psalm 51, you would meditate on it, and you would use that as a way to guide you through confessing your own sin before the Lord and letting him transform your life. Listen, God's judgment for those who are in Christ is that you are a new creation with a new life led by the Spirit. There is now no more guilt, no condemnation for those of you in Christ. And when you are unfaithful, you can confess that to the Lord. He remains faithful and he will forgive you and purify you. Guys, we're unfaithful. God is faithful. We're changing. God is unchanging. And I need you to hear this. When God justifies a person through faith in Jesus Christ, he does not change his mind. When God justifies a person through faith in Jesus Christ, he does not change his mind. This is why he's the just judge and the only one. If you put your faith in Christ, if you've been born again, this is who you are. If you haven't been born again through faith in Christ, this can be you. This can be you. You can say yes to Jesus by faith, literally right now. And everything that we've talked about that's true of born-again believers is now true of you. Right? All of that's true. God is faithful. He's the only one who can truly judge the world, including you. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We close each teaching with the same question, which is just this: Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him right now. God, I want to praise you as the just judge. Thank you for not letting us get off with lame excuses, because then we would still be dead in our sin. But rather, in one moment, in the man Jesus Christ, the God-man Jesus Christ, you displayed your justice and your mercy at the exact same moment through his death on the cross. Sin was punished, and humanity could be pardoned because of Christ's work. Only you could pull off something like that. And we praise you for it. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being unchanging. Thank you for the fact that you always maintain the standard and you make decisions in light of that. What a good gift to us that that's who you are. Help us to praise you for the fact that you're unchanging. At Lighthouse Community, we love praying for one another. And so what's going to happen is the band is going to come up. They're going to lead us in one more song. And we want to pray for you. And so during this last song, we're going to have prayer leaders in these two front corners. We'll have two back by the sound booth. They'll have a lanyard on there. Be careful on this corner. It's a little bit wet. All right. So if you come up here, take your step, walk like a penguin, you'll be fine. But if you want to pray about any area of your life, anything at all, we would love to pray with you. You don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Community to receive prayer. You don't ever have to be embarrassed to want to receive prayer, right? Because we all need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer, every single one of us. This is an opportunity for us to lean into the Lord. There's something powerful about movement. When we move and we go and we pray with other people. So I want to invite you to do that. So if you're in the house, I'm going to ask you to stand as we transition into singing and into music. If you're joining us online, there's actually a button you can click right now that you can engage in prayer with one of our hosts. They would absolutely love to pray with you right now as well. Let me pray for you, and then I'm going to invite you to come as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now, in Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to receive prayer, don't wait. Man, we really do. We would love to pray with you this morning.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.